I'm on the road to recovery, step by step, day by day. I'm on the road to recovery, trusting God along the way. Trusting God all the way.
Come on, Michael.
There are tears on my pillow that won't dry on their own. Beyond my ears, I've no sorrow, but today I don't walk alone.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome. Welcome to the Fort Lauderdale Primary Purpose Big Book Study Group's Thursday night Alcoholics and God Speaker Step Series. Let's have our joke now.
Hey, I'm Spencer, an alcoholic joke teller. And I got another great one from Take Me to Your Sponsor, the best jokes and cartoons that AA Grapevine could find. The AA was running late driving to work one morning, noticing the carpool lane was shorter than she got in it. Soon a police officer came up behind her, turned on his lights, and pulled her over. The officer walked up to the car, and the woman lowered her window. "Ma'am," the policeman asked, "do you know why I'm pulling you over?" "No, sir, I'm afraid that I don't," the woman replied. "You're in the carpool lane, yet you have no other passenger in your vehicle. Why is this?" he asked. Thinking quickly, the woman replied, "Well, you see, officer, I'm an alcoholic. Prior to recovery, my life had been one of incomprehensible demoralization. Once I became involved in AA, however, I found my higher power and began working the steps, and I have lived a life better than I could have ever imagined. In gratitude, I take my higher power with me wherever I go." So while it appears that I'm riding alone, I really am not. "I see," replied the officer. He then proceeded to pull out his ticket book and begin to write her ticket. "But officer, I don't think you understand," she pleaded. "There are two of us in this vehicle." "Ma'am," replied the officer, "I do understand. You see, I too am a grateful member of AA, and I also take my higher power with me wherever I go." "Then why the ticket?" she asked. "Because your higher power isn't wearing a seatbelt."
I'm a recovered alcoholic. My name is Marianne. Hi. Thanks for joining us tonight. In a minute, we're going to start our two-minute meditation, so please take a moment to get situated. Please turn off all devices that might make noise that might or will distract others. Take this time to get connected to God. Let the craziness of the day drift away and ask God to help you stay focused on the step study tonight. Is everyone ready? Cool. Let's start our meditation. you'd like to join me in the fog light prayer, it's right here on the screen.
God,
let your light shine through me like a fog light, so those who are lost, sick, and dying can find your love through me.
There is a solution from the Big Book, page 17. The tremendous fact for every one of us is that we've discovered a common solution. We have a way out on which we can absolutely agree and upon which we can join in brotherly and harmonious action. This is the great news this book carries to those who suffer from alcoholism. And I have asked Lorraine to come up and read Appendix 2, Spiritual Experience. We read this because the main purpose of the 12 steps is to have one. So it's kind of important to know what one is.
Lorraine, I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Lorraine.
Spiritual experience. The terms spiritual experience and spiritual awakening are used many times in this book, which upon careful reading shows that the personality change sufficient to bring about recovery from alcoholism has manifested itself amongst us in many different forms. Yet it is true that our first printing gave many readers the impression that these personality changes or religious experiences must be in the nature of sudden and spectacular upheavals. Happily for everyone, this conclusion is erroneous. In the first few chapters, a number of sudden revolutionary changes are described. Though it was not our intention to create such an impression, many alcoholics have nevertheless concluded that in order to recover, they must acquire an immediate and overwhelming God consciousness, followed at once by a fast change in feeling and outlook. Among our rapidly growing membership of thousands of alcoholics, such transformation, though frequent, are by no means the rule. Most of our experiences are what the psychologist William James called the educational variety, because they develop slowly over a period of time. Quite often, friends of the newcomer are aware of the difference long before he is himself. He finally realizes that he has undergone a profound alteration in his reaction to life, that such a change could hardly have been brought about by himself alone. What often takes place in a few months could seldom have been accomplished by years of self-discipline. With few exceptions, our members find that they have tapped an unsuspected inner resource which they presently identify with their own conception of a power greater than themselves. Most of us think this awareness of a power greater than ourselves is the essence of spiritual experience. Our more religious members call it God consciousness. Most emphatically, we wish to say that any alcoholic capable of honestly facing his problems in the light of our experience can recover, provided he does not close his mind to all spiritual concepts. He can only be defeated by an attitude of intolerance or belligerent denial. We find that no one need have difficulty with the spirituality of the program. Willingness, honesty, and open-mindedness are the essentials of recovery, but these are indispensable. There is a principle which is a bar against all information, which is proof against all arguments, and which cannot fail to keep a man in everlasting ignorance. That principle is contempt prior to investigation. Herbert Spencer.
Wow, that was beautiful. Please refrain from disturbing others by talking or constantly getting up and down. This is a tech-free meeting, so set your phones to airplane or meeting mode or just turn it off. It is my honor and privilege to introduce our speaker tonight. She is just a woman that you get around her and you feel at peace. I just touch her and I feel like I've known her a million years. I just love her so much. Ladies and gentlemen, let's welcome Paulette.
I get a place to put my pocketbook. See how your life changes? Get sober. People make space for your pocketbook. Thank you. Well received. Oh, my God. I was telling Marian, we both felt the same way. I couldn't wait to see you tonight. Oh, and I'm not talking about speaking. I'm talking about see you tonight. Be with you tonight. If you haven't had this kind of feeling yet, keep coming. Because every time I come into an AA meeting, I change. No matter what it is I'm feeling outside, as soon as I get around you, I've changed for the better. And it's addictive. And so I'm high on you. You know, and it's a nice feeling. They used to tell me that, and I used to say, poppycock. See, I'm not cursing anymore. Marian and I was like, I couldn't wait to be here tonight, plugged in. I've been thinking about you. All day. See, killing of self. Thinking about you. I mean, transformation that you guys have helped me with continuously. I am forever in your debt. I am humbled by the fact that I am able to tell you that I cannot do this by myself. I am nothing without you guys and the God of my own understanding. Humbled. I'm so grateful for that. So I'm grateful because there's a lot of people that don't have what we have. And I am aware of that. So I wanted to just take my 1 minute to tell you thanks. Really nice. Plus, I like this room. This room is really nice. I got to do my set-aside prayer and invite the God of my understanding in. To speak through me to see what message on step 4 he has to offer all of us, including me. And Guy sent me my set-aside prayer on my phone, so he wants me to use it and not read it from the paper. And I was very disturbed about that guy because I have an attachment to that piece of paper. It was given to me by my sponsor who passed away. So there's a sentimental value to it. But I will read yours tonight, but don't bet on it for the rest of the week, the time I'm here. We're into fourth step, and there's quite a lot that I would like to cover. We'll see what God says, won't we? Here we go. I saved it. And see what God says, eh? This is the set-aside prayer that I have used every time that I get up here to share my my experience, strength, and hope, and studying and practicing the steps and the spiritual benefits that I get from these wonderful spiritual tools. And it's called the set-aside prayer, and it was given to me by my sponsor, Dorothy H. And I like it because it speaks to my spirit, and it reminds me who is in charge. And it goes like this. God, please set aside everything. Let me start over. That's why I like to read my paper. Dear God, please set aside everything I think I know about myself, my disease, these 12 steps, and especially about you, dear God. So that I may experience an open mind with all these things. Please, God, help me to see the truth. Thank you for your indulgence. Tonight we are on the fourth step, and as you know, I'm going to read it as it is, because I have a disease that tells me not to. It tells me that I should put a comma where a comma shouldn't be, put a word where a word shouldn't be, because that will help me to do it better. That's the kind of disease I have. And so I like to read it the way it is because it keeps me on point. And I'm trying to develop, Bill doesn't say it, but it's implied in my humble opinion, to become disciplined. I am an undisciplined child. This helps me. Step four says, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. That's what four says. And last night I was at my home group. I try not to miss my home group. So let me tell you about my home group by introducing myself to you the way I was taught to introduce myself to Alcoholics Anonymous. When I get up and stand to speak, this is what I was taught. I am an alcoholic. I have a home group, and my home group is the One Day at a Time group of Alcoholics Anonymous located in Miramar. My home group meets every Wednesday night at 8 p.m., and I am sponsored, and I sponsor. To me, that's the difference between work and working. I do have a sober date, and my sober date is January 28, 1995, and my name is Paulette. Hello, fellow travelers. I just want to tell you, last night, I try not to miss my home group. Once in a while, I do, for good reasons. I try not to. But last night, we had one of our members talk about the third step, and it made me go back to read something. And it stuck with me, and I think that's what I'm going to start the fourth step, my experience, strength, and hope on. It's the word convinced. My home group member, Laurie, is here tonight, so she can validate that. It just spoke to me last night as if I had never seen that word. And how many times have I read the word? It's in the first phrase after, on 60, page 60 in the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous, when on the fourth paragraph, and Bill says, being convinced. We were at step three. That word convinced grabbed me last night. I went to bed on it. I woke up on it. I couldn't get it out of my mind. I have the obsession of the mind. What you might identify with that. But I was thinking of the term. It means firmly, or it's you can think of it as firmly believing into something, so firmly believing into it, and I thought about it on that terms as I am thinking about and reading about how the fourth step is supposed to work, as it's laid out in the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous, and so when I looked at it, I said, okay. All right, God, you're telling me something. Let's start there. Now, remember, I'm talking about the God of my own understanding, not yours. Mine. It's a personal relationship that I have developed over time with a power greater than myself, and I continue to expand on that power greater than myself because it has done me wonders. And I am really, really grateful for you guys to introduce me to that concept. Talk about building a house. When I talk about doing the steps, I thought about building a house. I like Bill Wilson's analogy of architectural terms, because I believe that the God of my understanding is the architect and I am the builder. This is a program of action. And so as a builder, I have to take some actions every day, fair weather or foul weather. But in order for me to understand what kind of home I'm going to build, I have to remember that. And this is what the fourth step does for me. There are certain things that is in my house that is eating it down, and I call them termites. Fourth step is about to show me those termites so that I don't have to get, so you can think, I can think of my God as I have one. One of those people that comes in my home once a year. Exterminator. Thank God we take care of us. Yes, I do. I have one on every year come in because they'll eat down your home to nothing. And I think of the fourth step as looking for termites in my home. Because if you've ever had any experience with termites, you don't see them. But they're eating well. And all of a sudden you lean on a door, and the door is no longer there. And you don't know when it happened. So my defects of character is exactly that way. Oblivious to it, except for the ones that I actually love. I liked all of them, but there's some I have special affinity for. So that's how I look at the fourth step. But I want to start with this when he says, being convinced we were at step three, which is that we decide to turn our will, our thinking, and our life, the sum total of our thinking into action, over to the God as we understand God, right? That's what I want to start with. What am I convinced about? Because I was convinced about that I am an alcoholic. Go back and you could see. And that I could not manage my own life. And then I was convinced that there was no human power that could have relieved my alcoholism. I tried. My family tried. And last week when we talked about the third step, or I shared on the third step, I didn't talk about drinking. I talked about my emotions and my behaviors. So then I am convinced that alcohol is only but a symbol. It's a symptom. I am the problem. And so I am convinced. I believe what Bill wrote. And so he says, so now that I am convinced that I have a life that is run entirely on self-will, thinking, self, all my natural desires that has been God-given has been managed by me poorly, may I add. Very poor. So now I got to give it up. You know, I read something recently. I was sharing it with my sponsee, Lorraine, and I said in the car, I read it recently. One of the things about doing service for Alcoholics Anonymous, it puts you in the literature. And so you constantly read things. You don't want to do it in the beginning, but you eventually start, and then you wonder why it took you so long. And I was reading about when Bill finally surrendered. And he surrendered and he doesn't say God. He says the Father of Light. And it's like I was telling Lorraine tonight, I said, it's like I hadn't seen that phrase. What is he talking about? Because he doesn't say God. He says the Father of Light, of hope, power, light. I can see. He's talking about this. This is how Bill surrendered. And so here it is. He says, now, surrendering and being convinced. This is important because Bill says, delay is deadly. You can miss the opportunity because that door closes quickly. Because the information that you had convinced you in the first place can change. You don't want that information to change because if it changes, you may not recover because you're going to twist it like I do. I am the greatest manipulator that ever walked God's green earth. I can manipulate anything out of a brown paper bag. I'm that sick. And so I cannot afford to delay this. So he's saying now, make this decision because you're convinced. So you have to launch into vigorous action. Now, if you have some kind of feelings of anxiety, he still helps us. He gives us the third step prayer. And I want to start by moving into fourth step by walking with you through the third step prayer. I think it's one of the most beautiful way that somebody has held my hand and led me to the promised land. That's how I feel about it. And I'm not preaching because this is not a religious program, because I consider Alcoholics Anonymous the promised land. That's how I look at it. And so when he says here, God, I offer myself to thee to build with me. Remember, God of my understanding is my architect. I am the builder. I opened up this step study by telling you that I adopted Bill terms of building a new home. Here's who's building it with me. The third step prayer told me to build with me. It means I am now taking some action. It's called cooperation, a dirty word for alcoholics like me. But it is introduced into the third step. Sister, build with me. I am going to be building something. Another dirty word for alcoholics like me, relationship. It's not one-sided. This is the most powerful relationship that I would ever have, and I didn't know it. That's what Marianne and I was holding hands talking about tonight. If you ain't got something like that, I feel sorry for you, but you got to keep coming because it's worth it. So he says, build with me. Building something, a relationship, is one that is going to take care of me. That's what it says. I'm not making it up. I'm not making stuff up, Mike. I'm not cursing. And then he says, and it says, and to do with me. Do with me. This is a nice relationship. Do with me. Oh, my. How loved do I feel at this moment? And he's not done. And he says, you do with me as thou wilt, which means I am abandoning myself to you. I am not holding back. You are going to build with me whatever you think I should look like, be like, sound like. That's a great thing for somebody who has been washed up. Build back me this way. And he's telling me he's designing it. If you just close your eyes, you can see the design from this third step right here on 63. And then he says, relieve me of the bondage of self, termites. All termites, selfishness, self-centeredness, Bill says, is my chief problem. Resentments, fear, harms to others, guilt, shame, remorse, sex, bondage of self. I am in bondage by me. Me. All self-imposed. So I'm asking, relieve me of it. And then he says here, why? So that I may better do your will. So I can do whatever God's will is. God as I understand God. Father of light, as Bill says. What his will is. Which means I no longer is thinking for myself. I'm just waiting to hear what he wants me to do. He wants me to put a nail in the far right corner, Paulette. But I can't hear that until the bondage of self is removed. You see, under all of that pomp and circumstances and clamor and all that chaos and drama, because I am a child of drama. Believe me, drama queen. I'm one of those women who used to dance on top of the table and didn't get paid for it. You know, so you can understand, I am a seeker of attention at any cost. You understand what I'm saying? So I need to have those things put out there. I can't hear the God of my understanding while those things are in there. They block me. And so what he's saying to me, this is the prayer before I launch. And so when I read it with that way, he says, now take away my difficulties. Now my difficulties may be my anxieties, I lack the courage. I may have a little problem stepping into it. He's not going to remove it. Because remember, he used remove for bondage of self. He says take away difficult, which means his care and his power for me is going to help me through those difficulties. So when I start to do my fourth step inventory, and I might feel anxiety when I write in my first column because I remembered exactly what my dad did to me when he left me at 8 years old to suffer and to starve so that I would never live to see another day, because that's the first thing in my first column. When I start to write that and bring back that memory, there is difficulty with it because my emotion starts rising. And he says, I ask him to take away that, which means help me to go through it, but don't let me stop. That's what that means. That's the kind of God I have. Allows me to write down difficult and painful stuff that does not let me stop, but encourages me to keep doing it, because I was told that I will be granted this love and this care and this comfort. And I believe it because I saw a lot of you people walking around that way. And if you're an alcoholic like me, I am envious and jealous of that. And you say, if I am envious and jealous of how your God looks on you, I should do what you do. And so this is what you do. And so he says, this is the difficulty. And he says, he carries me through these difficult lists. He says, what happens when I wear it? It says, it will show victory to those who look at me. You guys have granted me this gift. You guys looked at me and you said, I cannot believe you're grieving for Ed, and it's just a little over a year. You wear it well. It's not me. It's this, the God of my understanding. So I don't wrap myself in a shroud. It's difficult to grieve and have grief. I don't know how to walk it. But the God in this third step prayer has lifted me so that I can walk it, that you can see victory over them may be witness to those I would help of your power, your love, and your way of life. May I do your will always. So that's why I was so happy to be with you tonight. Because you have lifted me. I am a witness of this. So I launch, he says, into a course of vigorous action. Delay is deadly because I need to find these termites. And so what happened, he said, now you've got to find the things that have been blocking you from the sunlight of the Spirit, from the Father of light. And so he says, now you have to do something. He says, you have to do a written moral inventory. Notice written is in the book. If you're like me, you want to con yourself and say, and you want to do a mental inventory. I can't remember what I had for lunch today. How am I going to remember what kind of resentment I had at the age of 8? It is not a good inventory. I'm not starting off well, am I? So what he's saying to me, he says, therefore, he says, let me go to the other chapter. He says, the first paragraph, he says here, and it's important. I love the big book, Fourth Step, later, how he lays it out. You can't mess it up no matter how you try. He says, next we launch out. You are taking off. This is going to be this. You don't know it yet, but I can tell you it's what Bill calls the fourth dimension. But he says you're launching out. You are taking off like a rocket. And then he says, you course of vigorous action. You know we are lazy. We stay lazy. Sloth is my middle name. Procrastination. But he says vigorous action. He says, and then the first step of which is a personal house cleaning. Oh, my God. I've never, ever had an inventory called a personal housekeeping. I have never, because I have never thought that I needed an inventory. There isn't nothing wrong here, Ma. And he says, which many of us has never attempted. I didn't until I met you guys. And he said, though our decision, vital, life, vital and crucial step. If this is not vital or taken, he says, it could have little permanent effect. Why bother if it's not going to have permanent effect? If you're like me, I want guarantees. I want an insurance policy, a whole life, not a term life. So what this is telling me is that I need to do this right. And he says, and it's followed by a strenuous effort. It's going to take some work that I am going to feel pain sometimes. Because I'm using my mind to be used by the God of my understanding to point me in the right direction. It takes time for me to concentrate and sit down and be disciplined to follow one column one way down, finish it, and not have this mind think about the last column, and I'm not there yet. So it is a lot of effort to be that disciplined so I can make sense of the life that I messed up. And so what he's saying is, what I need to do is, I need to face and to be rid, guarantee, of the things that is in me which have been blocking me. Termites. Because I found out, I was convinced that liquor was but a symptom. This is some cool stuff. But if you ain't ready for it, you can't do it. But it's for everybody, because it's an individual adventure. A new brand spanking house. An architect already drew up the picture, told me what to do when I took the third step. Said, get yourself ready, because I got to get rid of the termites. So here it is. He says, any business built and doesn't take an inventory is a broke business. Which means, if you're like me and you were like me, because you wouldn't be here on a Thursday night, why bother taking an inventory? We con ourselves that we're doing pretty good. We're in the black. And then he says, what we need to do is to find out. Now, here's the thing that I love about it. When we are taking this inventory, he equates it to a business. So now I'm not only a house that God has drawn up the blueprint for, I am now a business. So now he's telling me I should consider myself the most important business on planet Earth. Ego. Talk about ego. Because I'm self-centered and selfish to the very core. Bill knew me. Now, one day I didn't like him in the beginning. Because he knew me. And he says, here's what I should do. He said, if I think myself as this business, then it is on page 64, by the way. He said, my inventory should be fact-finding. Fact-finding. For people like me, fact-finding is a dirty word. Because I'm always looking to find facts about you. And you. Because there ain't nothing wrong with me, Ma. And then he says, and this is another one too. Fact-facing. So when I find the fact that is about me, I've got to face it. That's where the third step is so important. Because you need courage to face yourself for the first time. When I saw myself for the first time through this process, I was not happy about it. But yet I knew, because I had a sponsor who didn't mince words. And he looked at me and he says, now you see what you are. It takes a while to see who you really are. But then it gets better. That's why you shouldn't be doing this on your own. Because sometimes finding out about yourself by yourself can be a scary prospect. So he says, not only am I going to be finding out more about me, he said, it's an effort to discover the truth about my stock in trade. I am the most important business on planet Earth. What kind of stock are you selling, Paulette? First time I came into AA, true story. I had my husband home and I have my son home, but I am new in AA. I'm sitting up front because my sponsor says you sit up front, because if you sit in the back, you are going to be in inventory row. You will be easily distracted and you won't get the message. So I'm always sitting in the front of a meeting. And then cute men start coming in AA. Cute. And I am looking at these guys and I'm like, oh, my loving God. There's some cute guys up there. And I said it out loud. You know what my sponsor said? He said, wait till they open their mouth. Stock in trade. Stock in trade, Bill says it. What do you have to offer? I've got to know what my unsaleable goods are so that I know what I have to offer you. Remember, I am involved in a relationship that I have no clue about. So I need to see what are my liabilities and what are my assets. And believe me, I didn't know I had assets. That's one of the great things about having good sponsorship, because there is an implied fifth column when you do the inventory process that helped me to not beat myself up when I took my inventory. There was a few good assets that I had left after all that crazy, destructive living. That's how good the God of my understanding is. And so you go through, he says, and we do this because we need to find out what goods are damaged. What is unsaleable? You cannot run a business like that. You have to see what you need to go. Some you might have to have a quick, what do you call I always like that because I used to do them. You can't even have one of them anymore because it's so dangerous now. But I used to think about when you said those quick sales, garage sales. And I would say, God, you mean I have to have a garage sale? And my sponsor says, ain't nothing in your garage anybody want right now. I had that kind of sponsor. You know, he was just straightforward. And oh, he said, no. And so he said, just get rid of it. Put it in the column. And it was good. Brooke, you talk about cut down your ego to size. Bring it down to size. See, I had to return to the scene of the crime. I love CSI. I'm a CSI fan. So I've always believed in forensic inventory as part of who I am, as a child of that. And so when you do a fourth step the way I've done it, it is really like looking. I consider myself a crime scene. And so I return to the crime scene and take my time by using each column. Start with my resentment from top to bottom. What am I resentful about? Jesus, I had so many I didn't even know. Oh, my loving God, how can a human being walk around with all this bondage, this bulk, and still stand up? What do you have to offer with all of that baggage? Then I got to my fear. Oh, I was fearful of everything and anybody, and I just covered it up with all kinds of disguises. If you blinked hard, I was fearful. But I wasn't going to tell you. And the thing about it, fourth step is so important. I'm so grateful for good sponsorship and the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous and going to step meetings and hearing other people talk about what they did. Because it took me a while to start to list each one in the right column. Once I did that, I was able to see for the first time, especially when it got to, because first I had to write out situations that I knew I was resentful. I started with my family. I come from a large Jamaican family. I am the seventh child of 10. So you know there was resentment up the wazoo. You name it, I had it. So I had to start with my parents and then my siblings. You know, never mind a man that put up with me for 41 years and my son. So I had a list. And that's just the family. I had outside relationships. I had jobs. I'm in healthcare, so you can imagine. And all of these things take time. And as I continue, that's why I started with the third step, my dear fellow travelers, because it gives me that comfort and courage to press on. And so in my fears, my fear of being threatened or fearful that something that I think I should have is going to be taken away from me, all of these manifested themselves in my actions that I cause you harm. That's what I was living with. So when Bill said, you need to do it, I'm resentful at my father. Why? Because he left me at 8 years old to die. What does that affect? Which part of me does that affect? Every part of me, my self-esteem, my financial security, my social security, my social instincts is damaged because I feel I'm inferior to you. All of my personal relationship was affected by my father leaving me at 8 years old because I never, ever treated men with respect after that. I grew up believing that you could not be respected. And then God gave me a son. How cool is God? Way cool. You understand how this works for me? So when it looks at that third column that says which part of Paulette is affected, every part of me. Now the thing is, a sick mind cannot take care of a sick mind. So this is where the God comes in of my understanding. That third column belongs to the God of my understanding. So I have to take my low self-esteem. I have to take my inferiority complex and how it plays out. My defected personal relationship, my material insecurity, my sex life, all of those things, that part of me, which was God-given, by the way, but because of self, it far exceeds its proportion. I have to take that and leave it in God's hand. The third column of my inventory, fourth step, belongs to the God of my understanding. No human being can fix it. My first column is my past. My second column, I can't do nothing about it. It happened, whatever I did. But the third column belongs to the God of my understanding. That's why it's so important to take your time. But don't delay out of fear. Do not. And so when I get to the fourth part, which is my, how do I handle that when my self-esteem is affected? I become selfish. I become dishonest. I am inconsiderate, or I'm frightened. That's the fourth column. That's how I operate. Whenever my third column, something of my natural God-given rights, my instincts, in the fourth, it's given to me, if I feel I am threatened, then I am going to be either dishonest, fearful, inconsiderate. This is one of the things that this thing does for me, continuously, by the way. And so he says, what I need to do, I shouldn't spare any expense. I should continue, because it is plain that a life which includes deep resentment leads only to futility and unhappiness. Jesus, I am telling you, I walked in here tonight and my sister right beside me, and I think the two of us were the two most happiest women on planet Earth. I don't care whether you were happy, you couldn't beat us. We were that happy. This is what this is telling me. And so what happened is, he says, to the precise extent that I permit these, if I keep up this unhappy life, I squander the hours that they may have been worthwhile. I'm wasting time. Who wants to die unhappy? Because I can't drink no more. And now drinking is not a problem. It's only a symptom. And then he says, thank you, Bill. But the alcoholic whose hope is the maintenance and the growth of a spiritual experience, this business of resentment is infinitely grave. We found that it is fatal. For when harboring such feelings, we shut ourselves off from the sunlight of the spirit. Insanity returns. No longer soundness of mind. And we drink again. And with us, to drink is to die. Thank you.
Hi, my name is Brandon, and I'm your recovered alcoholic secretary. In keeping with the seventh tradition, which states that every group shall be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions, the baskets are now going around. We also have QR codes on the chair backs. I've asked Les to come up and read the recovered statement. We read this notice to explain why many people in AA identify as recovered rather than recovering.
Hi, my name is Les. I'm a drug addict and alcoholic. And this is the recovery statement. We are not cured of alcoholism. Recovered, but not cured. That presents a conflict to some alcoholics. If we were cured, we would be able to drink responsibly. No, we are not cured. The allergic reaction to alcohol will remain with us for our lifetime. But we have been restored to sanity. That was the problem. The main problem of the alcoholic centers in his mind rather than in the body, page 23. We are now sane where alcohol is concerned. Consequently, we have recovered.
Thank you. Nineteen forty style big book sponsorship from the forward to the second edition. Alcoholics Anonymous of alcoholics who came to AA and really tried. 50% got sober at once and remained that way. 25% sobered up after some relapses, and among the remainder, those who stayed on with AA showed improvement. What we've seen, felt, came to believe, and experienced is that God has not changed over time. Neither should the sacred approach back to His loving arms. The statistics above suggest a 75% success rate. Is anyone needing a sponsor? No? Okay. And can the recovered alcoholics please raise your hands? And then if your hand was not raised, we suggest you hang out with those people. And then announcements. Broward County Intergroup is where you can buy AA-related literature, medallions. Intergroup is also responsible for creating our Where and When and scheduling the AA hotline. Stop by and visit them. Next. Broward County Institutions Committee is responsible for bringing meetings into places where people like us can't get to an AA meeting, such as jails, detoxes, and rehabs. They meet monthly to organize the meeting schedules at the 12-step house. Next. And then Broward County Intergroup, we are humbly requesting donations for a raffle at our 60th Appreciation Banquet here in April. Volunteer opportunities, there's a telephone relay for AA hotline. Yeah, you can get on the phone with somebody who needs help. Next. And then we have Paulette until May 2nd. We have CDs, mugs, large print big books, and the little red books, and big book dictionaries for sale. We meet here every Thursday promptly starting at 7:15, and we ask you to be courteous and ready to begin at the sound of the bells. See you next week.
Whether you did this or not, I'd like to invite everyone to our Monday night Big Book Study meeting. And those who wish to thank tonight's speaker, please line up down the center aisle. And we, in our seats, let's gather in the Lord's Prayer. Whose Father?
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. On earth as it is in heaven, give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever.
Thirsty bodies aching. I am desperately in need of restoration. Yeah. And I am ready for you to take me higher. Yeah. The only thing that I can do.
It doesn't matter how hard I try, but it
everywhere I go. I'm gonna let it shine, let it shine, 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 let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, 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 let it shine. All in my house, I'm gonna let it shine. All in my house, I'm gonna let it shine. All in my house, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, 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 let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, 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 let it shine.
Michael Chase, here's that song you've been asking me for a million years. I finally pulled it out the corners of my mind, and here you go. Fog is lifted. I see the light, count my blessings when I go to sleep at night. Here in our dream now. Fear has left me and I'm standing tall. A pile of bricks now lies where once there stood a wall that I hid behind. For all this time. Sometimes it takes a burning bush or a great white light to set you right. Well, my eyes don't cry now, and I'm out to dry. Pity party's over, the guest of honor has arrived, and he's almost up. For the first time in my life, they're green now, growing vines. They twist and turn each way. Flowers blooming all the time outside my door. Like never before, I had to change everything to realize that today is the best day of my life. This broken man traveled far and wide through the great divide, through his own heart, yeah. Well, I have a life today when it give away and it's just about to start. Show up and plug in my guitar, and I play my songs, and people sing along, and stomp their feet and raise their arms. And here in this moment that we share, nothing could come. The light, count my blessings when I go to sleep at night and I dream now. Yeah, I dream now. And everything's alright.
Oh, man. Going on 10 years old, that song is. God bless. I love you, Mike Chase. Bye.
I think you know this one, don't you?
Got one man that just won't say